Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, January the 16th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 13, the fourth paragraph. I was to test my thinking. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 steps. We have Tenzin T, the 12 traditions, Mary B, and readers of the text, Judith S.P., Tamara C., and Barbara P. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, January the 15th, 7 a.m., is 23127. That's 23127. And the 10 a.m. meeting, 23128. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Tenzin P. is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P., normally in New York City, but still checking in from Puebla, Mexico. Okay, and here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin. And Mary B. will read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary. Mary, please press star one to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. I can't believe I have to say this, but I cannot find my OA book.
Okay, Barbara P., can you take over, please, and read the 12 traditions? Are you there, Barbara?
Sure, yes. Hi.
Please enter your conference number, followed by the pound sign.
The 12 traditions, oh, hang on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, please.
Oh, better now, probably. Okay. Hang on 1 second, and I've got them up.
Have you got them, or I'll do it?
I do. I'm all set. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, plus problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, everybody. Teamwork, we got there. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story on page 13, the fourth paragraph down. I was to test my thinking, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. Judith P., could you read for us, please? Good morning.
Good morning, Lynn, and everyone on the meeting today. Thank you for being here. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland, greatly recovered this moment. Thank you, God. I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my
Well, Judith, we lost you.
Hi.
There you are. Never was I. Judith, you're gone again.
Okay, I'm here now.
Yep, and never was I.
Sorry. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. This paragraph is one that I've honestly been perplexed about in much of my time reading it over and over again. So I'm looking forward to hearing other shares on some of these very powerful sentences. But what I'm struck with right away is the progression of the awarenesses that Bill is coming to have and is here sharing with us. It is absolutely amazing to me. Every morning when I get up, my mind is ready to run off to the races, and I have to turn to God in the ways that I am able to. And I do test my thinking by the new God consciousness within myself. I have to, for my own medication and meditation, to feel and connect with the God consciousness within me. And then things that I had thought, oh yeah, this is the way it goes. Oh, why are they doing that? Or this, that, you know, I'm the great evaluator and assessor of everything in the world. No, uncommon. Uncommon now becomes the way that I find myself moving through life. Not always easily, because my disease and my resistance to being led by my higher power doesn't come like, you know, a smooth flowing down the river. But when I sit quietly, Judith, you don't have to do anything. This is the year of being a human being, not a human doing. That's my resolution. When I'm in doubt, and even when I'm in gratitude for me, I do ask for direction and strength from my higher power, because my own way of having direction and strength, the only beauty that it gave to me was bringing me into these rooms. He would have me be, I was going to pray only for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. And I'll end with this. I looked up the word bore, which is creating a hole, or to be able in a crowd to push through the crowd. And I have to push through with God's help and strength my own selfishness to be useful to others, to be unselfish, to be open and available. That's my purpose. That's what God wants me to do. And I believe that God has given me the opportunity in the rest of my life to practice so much of what this instructional book is here to give me. And I will close with great gratitude and love to everybody. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Judith S.P., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, which would be Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does. Who would like to share this morning?
Anita
J. Rick J. Rick J.
Donna M.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, please. I got Anita J., Tamara C., Rick J., Donna M. Did I miss anybody? Is there anybody else who'd like to share, please? Okay, let's go with this lineup then. We're going to start with Anita J., followed by Tamara C. Hi, Anita.
Hi, good morning. This is Anita J., living in recovery in Massachusetts. I this first time I was ever number one here. I think it's because my newfound God consciousness is making me one happy lady. All these strategies, I just got it all backwards in the last year or so. You know, no matter what I do, think the busy brain, I'm not going to be living the life that God meant for me. He wants me to sit quietly, ask His care and direction. And you know, there's a part I really love. It's somewhere else. I never know the pages, but it's, you know, about finding God. You can only find Him within. That's only where you can find Him. And so with the, all the earthly I'm not going to get it. But this way, I guess you can tell that I found Him again. He was always there. I just, but that doesn't matter now. I'm not going to berate myself because I can get back to the God consciousness, to doing what He wants me to do. That's the amazing thing. The other day, earlier this week, when I started really working, you know, working by not working, sitting quietly and getting, see what comes my way via God, I end up qualifying at a meeting that I wasn't at. The person didn't show up, and they didn't even ask me. They said, Anita, and I did it. And then I got the most wonderful conversation with one of our people, you know. There's nothing like a sincere conversation with another OA member. And so anyway, this is a very good way to live our lives, isn't it? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. Tamara C., it's your turn, followed by Rick J. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service. Morning, everyone. Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. This idea of testing my thinking by the God consciousness within is really important to me. I was unaware that my old ideas were hurting me and the people in my life. And in the chapter We Agnostics, it tells me that my mind is fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And superstition can be an unjustified belief, like I'm not enough. And a tradition for me can be an idea that I picked up and carried forward, like I have to earn my place, I have to prove to the world that I'm important. My thinking without God consciousness is faulty. And it's full of, also in We Agnostics, talks about obstinacy, sensitiveness, unreasoning prejudice. And obstinacy can be self-willed resistance. I stubbornly resist reality. I try to force my will to control my feelings, my behavior, my circumstances, my outcomes. And of course, none of this works. So what do? I just try harder. But now, oh, such a beautiful new way with testing my thinking by the God consciousness within, to just pause and ask and listen and to be guided, knowing that sometimes I'm inspired and sometimes it's absurd, and that's all okay. It does become more and more a working part of my mind. That's been so important for me this last week. We lost my sister-in-law unexpectedly, and with all of the grief and the stress, having in-laws at my house and just being able to use the steps to keep turning back to higher power and just asking what's next, to be able to pause and just say, what do you have to say to me? It's such a comfort. I hear such reassurance that I'm right where I'm supposed to be and that all of this process is just what it's meant to be, to get direction and strength. That really is like a return in great measure, to be able to just be present and be there for my husband who lost his sister and my brother-in-law who lost his wife, and so much better than my stubborn insistence on figuring it all out myself and trying to force some outcome or play some certain role, to just be able to be guided by the God consciousness is an amazing gift. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tamara C. Rick J., it's your turn, followed by Donna M. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service. I'm Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. This God consciousness within, it's about, for me, it's about connecting to that power that I've come to believe in. And I can see and feel the changes that are happening within me, as I can with the other people that I see, and my life connects with also. I see it working with them. And I just love that now, instead of reacting to life, I can sit quietly, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems. So sometimes I'm sitting quietly or standing quietly or walking quietly or driving quietly. I can just disengage that juggernaut of self-will. Because if I don't, what happens is I end up being an extreme example, a self-will run riot, despite my best attempts at doing the right thing. It's just what I'm used to doing. It's my factory default setting. This new power, this power that's still within me, that I still believe in, that I'm still connecting to, provides me strength, inspiration, and direction. But my self-will screams and roars, and my higher power whispers. I have to sit quietly to hear it. It's this powerful but soft voice. And when I hear it and connect to it, then I truly feel like I'm flowing. I'm flowing in the right direction. I'm flowing in the direction of God's will for me. Just by my very nature, I am a reactor, an instigator, and a disruptor. And myself will run riot if I don't. I live in this step today. I live, for me, this is 11. Where I'm asking this power, and I'm asking for guidance. I'm asking for inspiration, intuitive thoughts. It's about my thinking. This is where I live today. And as I pause throughout the day, and I don't wait till I'm agitated, like was previously shared. I pause all the time. I practice pausing. And sometimes I just pause and say, thank you. Even if it's something that I wouldn't have said thank you to before. Thank you for this moment to grow. Thank you for this moment to remember that I'm alive and living on this earth. And then I can see where I need to go from here. I might need to be doing some step 10 work with someone. Or I can see where I can carry this message of my experience to someone else.
Time,
but I just live in 11 today. That's what I do. And it works for me. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. from North Carolina. Donna M., good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And this passage here, I was to test my thinking. So my thinking drives my feelings. So I need to catch my thinking, and I turn my thinking over to the new power that I found. And that power wants me to be the best person that I can be. I'm not sure what the second sentence means. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I'd be interested in hearing other people's opinions on that. I was to sit quietly when in doubt. So that I don't always sit. And yesterday I had the experience. It's been a long time since I've put on spiritual music, and just listening and listening to this spiritual music is my way of meditating and turning to God. I was to ask for direction and strength to meet my problems as He would have me. So God often, whenever I do that pause, 9 times out of 10, I just feel a sense of those thoughts are lifted. When they're not, then I need to do my step 10 work because I'm blocked from that channel. Never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. So this sentence has baffled me before, because for me, my defects always block me from other people. So I ask God in His time to help me lift my defects, because whenever I'm in my defects, I can't see how I can help other people. I am so self-willed and so full of self-pity and focused on myself that I don't see how I can help others. But what this passage is telling me is that God is going to give me the power to handle situations that used to baffle me. And that has been my experience coming up on 6 years now. And I'm so grateful for that. And I pass. Have a nice day, everyone.
Thank you, Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. For those of us who might have come on the line a little later, let me tell you where we are. We are continuing our study of the Big Book, and we're in Bill's story on page 13. The fourth paragraph, I was to test my thinking. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share this morning?
Jessica M.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't hear anybody except
Liz
for Larry
E. UK.
K. Yeah, hang on. Thank you.
Anayeta.
Okay. Please hang on just for a minute and let me catch up. Okay. So I heard Larry K. I heard Liz E. I heard Anayeta, but I missed a whole bunch. Who did I miss? Please.
Jessica C.
Thank you.
Anne Marie M.
Okay, was there anybody else who said their name that I totally didn't hear?
Anne Marie
no?
M.
I got you. Anybody else?
Natalie S.
Okay, great. I have a Sorry, Natalie S., and then who was after that? Okay, let me tell you who I did here, and apologies to those that I missed. I've got Larry K., Liz E., Hannah Yetta, Jessica C., Anne-Marie M., and Natalie S. Okie dokie, Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry Kay, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Chicago. So I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as He would have me. So right before the meeting, I got a call from my brother, and my mother's in the hospital. She's got apparently cellulitis. Maybe even, and she's 85. She's got comorbidity. She's got Alzheimer's. She's got lots of different things. Okay, God, I'm sitting quietly before I got in the meeting. I need your direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Because, you know, the truth is, I don't know what's going to be today. I have no idea. Without recovery, I can tell you, without this relationship with God, I can tell you how, for sure, how the day would go, because it's stressful, as you can imagine. Don't know. It's very unpredictable. There's just everything outside of my control, right? They don't even have her in a room yet. Hospital in Arlington Heights is full. We're going to see how the day goes. I don't know. I feel peace. I know that without recovery, without this walk with God today and whatever the future may be, who knows? We're not guaranteed of anything. I know that it would involve food. I know that as ridiculous as that sounds, I know it would, because I would need that. I would need the substance to be able to navigate through the day. There's no question. I would need to tamp down stress, anxiety, fears, the buildup of those normal emotions that can build up in other people, but not in me. But I don't need to do that today. I've got other things going on, for sure, as you do. But today, I'm going to ask for God's direction. I just automatically sat quietly and asked for God's direction, and it'll come. I don't know what it's going to look like right now, but it will come. I know it, because I've been here before. Again and again, God comes through and guides me. And there will be people placed in my just as I'm wrapping up, Lynn, there will be people, a sponsor, this one, that one, that will reach out. I'll reach out to them. They'll help me as well. We need each other. We need God. This is a wonderful program of recovery, and I'm grateful for it. With that, I pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Larry K. from Chicago. Liz E., it's your turn, followed by Hannah Yetta R. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Liz E. for Elegant, recovered compulsive eater in Southwest England, UK. Thank you for hearing my voice. And if you're hesitating, just press star one. So important to share. There's no requirements for sharing. So this, it's just an amazing book, this, and every time I read a sentence, I see something new. And the word for me here is, I was to test my thinking and the new God consciousness within. And for me, that word new is really important. I was talking with a sponsee this morning. We were talking, going through the doctor's opinion, and it's new ways of doing life. That is what this book has given me, a new way to be recovered, to show up, and to be present. It's a new way. I can't do it the way I did it before recovery. I have to do it in a new way. And it's also being God conscious. So this program has taught me I've got to be awake. I've got to notice. I've got to understand the insights that I'm learning from all of you, the book, and most importantly, with God, and being available to hear him. He is available 24/7. I'm just not that available. It is my availability that prevents me progressing, or my lack of availability prevents me progressing. So it is being intentional. It's being awake for me. That is my experience, strength, and hope. That, and God gives me lots of little things to learn along the way. And, you know, I found that doing this with fellows is an amazing sandpit for learning to do things in a new way outside of the fellowship. And for me, it's mostly around relationships and how I behave around people mostly, once I've got the food down. But singularly most important thing is check in with God all of the time, and know that I have to, my life depends upon relying upon God. Thanks a million. I'll pass. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Liz E. from the UK. Hannayetta R., it's your turn, followed by Jessica C. Good morning, Hannayetta.
Thank you, Lynn, for your service. You're always so bright and chippy. Chipper, thank you. This is Hannayetta R. from Plano, Texas, just outside Dallas. And my name starts with a C-H, if you're looking for me in the list, members list. So first I want to say welcome to all the newcomers. And if you're out there, please, please, please give us your name when it's time. We'd really love to meet you and want to be a service to you. This paragraph, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, this paragraph, there's a lot in it, a lot in it. I was to test my thinking and you've gone consciousness. You know, I would sit quietly when in doubt. You know, I know we're not supposed to really crosstalk, but I love what Rick said, that he practices pause. I love that. Practice pause. And I think pause is being patient, have assurance, be understanding, surrender, and easy does it. Me, I practice those things. I'm going to start practicing that. It's such a great direction. And it says that we are to ask only for direction and strength and power. It says in the 11th step, it says direction and the power to carry it out, because I can have all the direction I want, but if I don't have God's power to carry it out, then it's kind of like I get this great idea and it frizzles, you know, because I don't have the strength to carry it out. It says never to pray for myself. You know, I believe, my religious background believes, that it's okay to pray for yourself. That I can pray for myself to have enough money, I can pray for myself to have enough food, I can pray for myself to be well, to be better, to have a full healing of my illnesses, to my family should be okay. That's for others. But it's okay for me to pray for myself. Now, I am not supposed to be selfish, self-centered, egotistical, all of those things. I shouldn't be that. So if I'm praying for myself, it's things that I need and things that I feel comfortable with praying for myself. And then I always pray for others, And I do want to be useful to others, so I do that. then only we might expect to receive. I love receiving from God.
Time,
and
please.
It is, thank you. And it is in great measure. I'll stop with that. And don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. Everybody has a miracle. It's out there for you. Lynn, thanks again for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Hannayetta from Plano, Texas. Jessica C., good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Lynn. Good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. I just really appreciate the message and all the shares. I felt compelled to share, especially about the part around common sense becoming uncommon sense. For me lately, I've applied for a new job outside of the company that I've worked for 20 years, my entire adult career. And I felt really directed by God to apply for this job. And then in the meantime, where I am right now, where I work now, there's a lot of upheaval, just a lot of restructuring and lots of changes happening. And people are being offered severance packages if they leave. And I'm being told by, well-intentioned coworkers that if I'm going to leave, then I shouldn't leave without money, without getting some money first. And so I'm getting this advice to be strategic. And that seems like common sense to do that. When I check in with God, God is not directing me right now to take any sort of dramatic action around making sure that I, leave with some money. And that just seems like God's, you know, sort of common sense, because, you know, as an addict, I want to make things happen. I want to cause a big dramatic action, or I'll stay in a place that's unhealthy for too long. You know, I've done that a lot too, not taking any action when maybe God wanted me to take some action. But for today, it just feels sort of frantic and fraught for me to, you know, go to my boss and say, hey, I think I'm ready to leave. It just, I don't think that's the action that I need to take just yet. Again, that feels fear-based. And I was reminded yesterday that when my mind is fearful, I can't hear what God is trying to tell me. And the usefulness, all this is sort of happening right now, and I'm able to be useful to others. It's not just about me and what I'm going through. You know, I had a conversation with another fellow about a situation at her job, and I shared how I'm, you know, using the spiritual toolkit as I'm going through this situation, and it was really helpful. And it's just so different than when my life is driven by me. And, you know, when it comes to the food, like, you know, I had my abstinent breakfast today. I'm fairly certain I'm going to be abstinent for the rest of the day. But if this was happening before this recovery, you know, I probably would have started out with an abstinent breakfast, but I definitely would have stopped at a drive-thru on the way to work, gotten a sugary coffee-based drink. I would have considered that abstinent, but that would have triggered the allergy, and I would have definitely been off to the races with food for the rest of the day. So, yeah, thanks for letting me share. I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Anne-Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Natalie S. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hey, hi, Lynn. Good morning, and good morning, everyone. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, and through God's grace and mercy, he is keeping me recovered for today, and I'm really, really grateful for that. The first person who shared talked about Bill's progressiveness of his progressively in his my mind just went blank. Being in recovery, he's progressively getting recovered. And I really like that a lot, because I often hear about the progressiveness of this disease, but this progressiveness of recovery also. And as long as I stay in God's word, as long as I continue reaching out to God throughout the day, like someone else had said that they stay in step 11 every day, and that's, you know, so important, then my recovery will progress. And I really like that a lot. I don't know how many times I have read this, and never, ever have I looked up the word bore. And I was really glad to hear someone give us the definition, but I didn't write it down, so I looked it up myself. And to push through, to make one's way steadily, especially against resistance. And I'm not even sure if that was the same definition that the other person gave, but that makes so much sense. I love looking up words, and it's really, really helpful to me. The phrase that I wanted to, sentence was, practicing, it's, oh my gosh, my mind is so blank. The idea of common sense was for me, it was common sense for me whenever I was feeling irritable or uncomfortable. That's really what it was. When I felt uncomfortable, it was just common sense for me to stop at the convenience store and pick something up to help me with that discomfort. And now it is becoming, I should say, it is every day, it's becoming more common sense to go to God and ask God to help me. It's uncommon for me today to pick up the food, and I'm grateful for that. I am really grateful for that. And there was one other line, and I can't recall it, so I think I will just pass with that. So thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. Natalie S., good morning. Welcome.
Thank you, Lynn. This is Natalie S., recovered in Indiana. And as has been shared, that flip from what was uncommon to common happened for me. And what was common for me when faced with a dilemma or a desire or an uncertainty or a problem was to think it through running or beating myself up through exercise or waiting to eat, you know, is this sort of self-punishment until the answer came. And I'm so grateful that now, today, for example, my mom too has been in the hospital. She had what I was told a routine procedure. Now she's in ICU. She may have a punctured lung, and she's three hours away. But my dilemma is, how am I going to be of better service to her and my brother and sister, who didn't include me in the, let me put it this way, they took care of all of the preliminary work with my mom to arrange the doctor and the surgery. And my direction from them was to simply be informed when they tell me. So I don't have a good take on the seriousness, but I do know that God does. And, you know, as someone also shared strength, inspiration, and direction, it was a miracle when I got my car. And for the very first time, I really felt called to put that on my license plate. So my license plate says Sid before me. In everything I do, it's a reminder that not only is this car a gift to me, an incredible gift and a miracle, but God has to go first. So what did I do today? I sat in my prayer meditation and I poured my heart out to God. You know, I want to be a good daughter, but I don't want to fall into image management. I want to be a good sister, but I don't want to cause discomfort or pain. I want to be there for my mom, but I don't want to cause her added stress that I don't even know I'm causing by my presence. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know, as one of our very good fellows says, who holds the answer, and that is only God. And through these 12 steps in the program, I'm able to work those steps, remain abstinent, and wait patiently on God to reveal to me what it is to do. He may not do it today. He may not do it till tomorrow. He may not do it till Sunday. I just have to sit waiting patiently and be ready to say yes. And that's the gift that this program brings me. It had nothing to do, well, God used my self-abusive behaviors of restriction and over-exercise to bring me back closer to Him. And I just have to do it the first thing every day and throughout the day. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And where are you calling from, Natalie, please? Where are you calling from, please?
Oh, Indiana.
Indiana, thank you. That's Natalie S. from Indiana. Thank you. We have time for two or three more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Margaret D., Georgia. Alexis F.
Okay, anyone else? I heard Margaret D., Alexis F. Okay, let's go with those. Margaret D., please go ahead.
Thanks, Lynn. Hey, everybody. Good morning. The thing that the newfound way of living for me now is this practicing the conscious contact with my higher power. The presence of that higher power. And what that means for me today, what I'm discovering very slowly, very, very slowly, is this newfound relationship. What are the important things? Well, the first thing is I try and practice humility, which is just putting myself or recognizing or remembering that I'm not in charge. I'm not the boss. God is either everything or he's nothing. And so for me to practice humility means I have to keep going back and going, oh, that's right. I remember I didn't create the world. I didn't make the sun come up. You know, I sung to the tune of me doesn't work anymore. And what I try and follow is, okay, God, you're in charge. The ball's in your court. What do you want me to do today? How can I follow your will? And with that, I just kind of sit and see what comes. Sometimes the only thing that comes is, well, maybe I should go wash the dishes, you know, or throw a tub of laundry in or whatever. But whatever is the next right thing to do, my God will always bring me to that. And it's me putting up my hand saying, no, I can't accept this, or that's not true, or reality as it is in this very present moment is not what I like, and so I'm throwing it out. There's been a lot of deaths in my family lately. We're all getting up and older. And whenever I get distraught about it, I have to keep remembering, what is the reality of life? The reality is, if I was born, I'm going to die. And so how can I follow under God's guidance what God wants me to do during all that year, all those years? And it turns out, it seems, it's just how can I be helpful to others? I love you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret B. from Georgia. And Alexis F., welcome. And can you please tell us where you're calling from?
Thank you very much. My daughter lives with me, and we're both mentally ill, have the same diagnosis, a very difficult one. And I'm abstinent. Doing my abstinence, I weigh and measure. It was so difficult for me. I was abstinent on and off. I worked the steps with a sponsor in another program, another sect of OA. And I worked the steps with a recovered sponsor, and there was a big difference. But 13 years ago, I gave up ice cream because I loved my daughter so much. I didn't want to see her. She's heavy, and she has the same problem that we do. She's not taking to the OA program, though. So I've been praying for her and asking for God's guidance, you know, as to what to do with her situation. And there's times I get very frustrated. And sometimes with myself or with her. And just a lot of hospitalizations. And I haven't had one now in 12 years, but my daughter's had a couple. And it's difficult to remain abstinent when you eat out of emotions. I recently had a stroke, and I went to my neurologist yesterday, and he also prescribes sometimes my psychiatric medication. And he said that the medication that I'm on for the stroke is the same medication. It does interferes with my manic depressive diagnosis, so I couldn't take it. So I'm off, and Mary Claire was taking a drug for losing weight that she injects into herself and didn't mix with her medication either. And the pharmacist should have told her. And she has an eating problem also. So, she's struggling, and it's difficult to watch because I know what I want.
I'm pleased, Alexis. Time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Alexis F. And thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, January the 16th, is 23133. That's 23133. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tamara C., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.